As you slept, a powerful offshore earthquake struck north of New Zealand. The magnitude 7.4 jolt happened at about 10 to 1 this morning in waters 700 kilometres northeast of Gisborne. That's just south of the Kermadec. It was at a depth of 33 kilometres. The shake was felt throughout the North Island and parts of the South Island in the early hours of this morning. Soon after the quake, a national advisory was sent out by Civil Defence, asking people in coastal areas to listen to the radio and TV for updates and to stay out of the water and stay off beaches and shore areas. Civil Defence National Emergency Management Agency ruled out any tsunami at 1:37 this morning.
Although listed as weak by GeoNet, close to 9,000 people have made felt it reports on the GeoNet website, most experiencing light to moderate shaking throughout Napier, Hastings, Gisborne and the Bay of Plenty. One light sleeper even felt the shake in Ashburton. A Twitter user in Gisborne described the quake as a decent shake. According to the GeoNet website, there have been no significant aftershocks as yet. On the line now is GNS seismologist John Risto. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
Just talk us through what sort of quake was this?
So as some of the details that you've already given out here, so it was a magnitude 7.4 earthquake. It was about 700 kilometres north of the North Island at a depth of 33 kilometres. And so this is this area is what we call the Kermadec Trench, where you got have the Pacific Plate and the Australian Plates colliding together with the Pacific Plate pushing or subducting beneath the Australian plate. And it's an area of very high seismic activity. So having earthquakes, you know, magnitude 5s and 6s and even 7s, is not unusual. And so this earthquake was about halfway between the North Island and Raoul Island. Oftentimes we see these earthquakes a little bit further north towards Raoul Island. So this one's a little bit further south than we normally get.
33 kilometres deep, that seems quite shallow. Did that cause some concern? Obviously, there was a bit of an effort by Civil Defence just to establish whether there was any tsunami threat. Is that why?
Yes, at that depth, that's where you start running the risk of a tsunami. If the earthquake's deeper, then it doesn't disturb the seafloor enough or even at all to generate a tsunami. But once it starts to get shallow, like this earthquake, then you have the potential that it could actually break the seafloor, you know, or cause enough disruption in the seafloor that it could generate a tsunami. So that's what we have to say.
And it's 710 kilometres away, give us a sense of what sort of risk that poses.
Well, at that distance, that gives us a little bit of time to do a tsunami assessment. If you think about a tsunami travels roughly about the speed of a passenger jet plane, so 700 kilometers, it'd probably take roughly like around an hour or so to get to make first landfall in New Zealand. So that gives us a little bit of time to make an assessment, but at the same time, it doesn't give you a whole lot of time. You have to start, looking at it carefully and start to make some plans quickly.
Yeah. Would you expect aftershocks with a quake of this size?
Definitely, yeah, and we have had aftershocks. It's just that they're far enough away that that people aren't feeling them. We've had 7 that are magnitude 5 and above, with the largest being 5.5. It's quite possible that we'll still see an aftershock above magnitude 6. That wouldn't be unexpected, given the magnitude of this earthquake is 7.4. But even at a 6, it's highly unlikely that people will feel it.
Although, and that wouldn't be posing a great risk at a 6?
No, not that magnitude. For this earthquake, it would likely have actually had to have been approaching magnitude 8 before there would have been any type of tsunami risk.
Right. There is some caution being urged for boaties and water users on the east coast. What's that due to? Just to sort of swirling water or tides and things?
Yes, there is always the potential that that even if we don't, if we can't record a tsunami, that it's still kind of that it may have generated some type of strong currents or unpredictable currents. So yes, best thing is to listen to advice from NEMA and wait until they give an all clear.
John Risto, thank you very much for that. GNS seismologist there with an update on that, shallowish earthquake that hit off the Kermadec at about 1 a.m. last night.